we don't need those sort of management controllable pickups.
No.
Right?
No.
And so they are unfair on the men because we say, no, we don't pay for these. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. Now, on the other side of the coin, if the men turn out bad work, they pay for it. Because all we do is say, well, it's got to be repaired, and repair is just dead time.
Yes.
And it counts against your bonus. If you are stupid and you have little stoppages and you don't earn what you're supposed to, okay, we don't take it to court, you just, your bonus just drops, okay?
Yeah, that's the greatness. I mean, that's the advantage.
So the advantage of the system is that it's supposed to drive people in, but if you get too many management hiccups in the system, then the men say, well, look, it's a rubbish anyhow. How can we trace it? How can we keep it up when you don't get this in and there's a shortage of that and there's a breakdown, that breaks down every bloody week, we've told you about it, you keep on putting blokes, you won't spend any money, and all these arguments. And in the end...
Is that what gets thrashed out on the service station?
It gets thrashed out in this office. And I presume it gets thrashed out in every other manager's office throughout British Labour.
And what can you do about it?
Well, the only thing that you can do, on the premise that anything that happens inside a factory is the management's fault. It's the wrong word, but that's speaking of. Anything that occurs inside a factory is under management direction and management control.
Yeah.
If it isn't, then you're not managing the company, it's a bloody mess.
Right.
So on that premise, it's our fault.
Yes.
Right? It is management's fault that these things occur in repetition.
Sure.
Nobody can stop the odd thing happening. I mean...
No.
They do happen.
No, they're always shortages.
But the general malaise of sort of shortages in, shortages here, no good planning to make sure that we've got this done, or the inability to plan perhaps, right? Because we haven't got the right people, or the inability to plan because we haven't got an order book long enough to plan thoroughly enough to take care of the situation. It's not the men's fault.
No.
That's our baby. That's what we're here for. I mean, we pride ourselves in being managers. I mean, if somebody took us apart, even now, right, I'd find us wanting, including myself.
But say there is a strike at the suppliers, and so there is a shortage, and the bonus drops. Can you override and say we'll make it up because it wasn't their fault or something?
Yes, there are provisions to do that. The company is very fair. This company is... When I say the bonus scheme is now unfair, for those reasons I've said, and they need sorting out. But the company is very fair with its employees on the whole. I mean, they have layoff arrangements, right? They have holding periods where people go into, they come out of the bonus, and they're paid full rate, and you can have a holding pool for 8 weeks. And as of yet, this company, this particular company, Land Rover, never, to my knowledge, turned around and said to any of my contemporaries, and I include from the toilet cleaner to the director, you've got to go. Now, there's always been this business of voluntarism about going, and they have dealt with people, by and large, in a very humane manner. They've reached some good agreements.
Mm.
They've reached some dark ones, but I mean, you take them as they come. On the whole, I would sort of say that our directors, if they've had any faults at all, when you really sit down and consider, the only fault that I would really say has been a bad management fault at planning level, at top level, is that they didn't involve themselves in investment in the Land Rover soon enough.
Yeah.
They let Land Rover run on and on and on and on without anything like a facelift until it was damn near too late. And in fact, we would not be in this position today of trying to hold our share of the market and keep our head afloat, making a loss while we're doing it, had the board at the time taken decisions on investment and new product range long before they did. This Land Rover was milked to finance the P6, the SD1, the P5 before the P6. I mean, it was conceived in the steel shortage to tide the company over a bad patch when you couldn't get steel to build cars after the war. Mr. Poppy and a few more had a brilliant idea said, we can make the body out of aluminium, we'll do this, that, and the other, we'll screw enough steel to make it. They did it all. Great idea. It was never, it's like the health service. Brilliant idea. Successive governments have just let it, let it wander.
No, we should think of time, but finally, the 92-page document, is that a great help for management?
The 92-page documents, not really. Documents and rules, I'll tell you what helped this company. It's not the rules they put down, because depending on where you are in the company, what level of managerial authority you've got in the company, and what the pressures are in the company. Depends on how close or how far away you stray from the 92-page document. The thing that helped this company really was Edwards. You can write a ream. I mean, before Edwards, I can show you 92-page documents, right? Going back years, and how you'll conduct yourself and how the trade unions will conduct themselves, and what procedures you will follow, and how you will do this and that. But it wasn't until Edwards came along and said, by the way, you know, when you say to that bloke, the answer is no, just mean no, will you? And if you say yes, just mean yes. I mean, in blunt terms, he then gave sustenance to any piece of paper that had got a rule written on it. He said, look, it is a rule. We've all agreed that that's the rule. Now do it. And if it means closing this whole car industry down, I'll do it. But you manage the place. Now, like I said to you before, some men, right, said, okay, that's a fair charge. Yes. They talked to people and said, look, this is what's going to happen, so come on. Silly days are finished, let's get it done properly. Others come in with a jackboot, hope to God they go shortly, because they're not the type of people we want to manage a company, okay? And but he did it. Pieces of paper don't mean anything. They don't mean a damn thing if, when you try to apply them, the person above you and the person above him and the person above him says, oh, what's he doing down there, the bloody fool? No, well, couldn't he have applied that slightly different? You know, I mean, there's no, for God's sake, he doesn't have to take the letter of that paper right to its limit. I mean, he's going to have a stop. Get that, tell him, tell him we'll have a meeting. Tell him to put the status quo in. Tell him to do this. When Edwards come in, and I was part of that system as well, okay. When Edwards came in, he said, oh no, here's another 92-page document, if you like, or a 92-page document that replaces the 10-page, which replaces the 100-page, which replaces the 2,000-page document. There's a document, and by the way, that's what we mean to do. And I want to do it. And when he was tested, right, he did it. And suddenly, there was a realisation throughout the car industry that here's a bloke who means what he says. He's a rotten little bastard, jumped up South African, nigger lover. I've heard him called everything, right? Everything from a bastard to the saviour of the company. But to be honest, all he did was apply himself to the task. And he got the brains and the energy and the integrity, because that's a big part of it, to do it, and he did it. And I don't, like I said, I'm not a detailed person. I know what's in the 92-page document if I bring it out now and read it.
Yes.
Right? But I know what management is, and I know that you've got to be firm when you deal with people. You haven't got to be a bastard. You haven't got to be a martinet. You haven't got to be this. But you must be firm. You must mean what you say when you talk to people, because otherwise they get uneasy. They then do turn to a shop steward who says, right, we'll go in there and we'll tell him. If he doesn't do so, if he doesn't, we're out. Now, they know the shop steward means what he says, but they know the manager, and on the other side, oh, he'll buck them. You watch, he'll be in there 10 minutes, they'll come out, there'll be a status quo, and then we'll get cracking. And 9 times out of 10, that used to happen. Mm. And if it didn't, if the manager stuck firm, as sure as God made apples, a day later, 2 days later, 3 days later, 3 weeks later, somebody would offer it. And it would be, well, come on, you know, your decisions do get overturned, and being a manager, you've got to expect it. Well, we do, but not all the time. So that, you asked me what the 92-page document, it just meant one bloke Cyan and Dewan, what he meant. Edward. It could have been anybody. And I don't know. I mean, it could have been anybody, but yeah. It was Edward.
Yes.
Because we'd had anybodies. We'd had them all, you know. I mean, it was like musical chairs at the time. It really was. And I wonder why the car industry deteriorated even faster. You know, I mean, it really did. It was like a great jockeying for position at the top. You know, he's coming in and he's created this level of management, and there's another level of management, and another level of management. God, it
now, all right, now, I can see it, that, you know, the management as such is easier and better now, as it was 5 years ago. But what in terms of efficiency and productivity in the same 5 years, which is hard to measure, because like Garrison Street, I believe, you know, output is down because there's cutbacks and all the rest of
yes.
it. You can't separate the market from what happens inside. But
Two things have happened to make productivity per person
yes.
better. Now, by how much better, I don't know, because we are so far away from our origins, if you like, and especially in this factory where I've had violent product changes here, right? And the factory's been torn apart, I've had new bits put in, bits taken out, new work come through, so it's very hard. But I do know this, that first of all, when we settled down under Sir Michael Edwards, we had a situation where people suddenly decided, A, Michael Edwards, B, the recession. You know,
yes.
People have seen the world over. They suddenly recognised an era has come to an end. Stop. You know, we're not lemmings, you know, we're not funny little creatures, we are human beings, we'll stop. So they stopped. They read the message and they said, okay, now we'll work properly for a while. So, if you had 100 men producing 100 cars in a week and they stopped 2 days a week on average, yeah? So you've got 60 cars all through that period prior to Edwards. Suddenly, you had your 100 men and they still only got to produce 100 cars, but they started to produce them because they worked 5 days a week. So suddenly, you've got 100 men producing 100 cars, if you like.
Yes.
And suddenly, said, all right, there's a great leap in productivity at British Leyland.
Yes.
Well, there was in terms of, if you say we employed, you know, 100,000 people
cars.
Or whatever it was, and now they're turning the cars out.
Mm.
Now, in effect, nobody worked any harder. All they did was work 5 days a week. In general.
Yeah.
Then we had the advent of the bonus scheme, right, where it actually meant that when the auditing team, and that was the industrial engineers, came through and audited all our standard times and said, okay, you know, these are slack and so on, and people went for the bonus, they actually then did more work per person. So the first leap in productivity, right, under Edwards was in fact that people worked 5 days a week,
yes,
by and large.
Yes, yeah.
Then the second leap in productivity was when they started to earn a bonus. So they produced 100 cars, first of all, where they were producing 60. And then suddenly they said, no, we'll produce 120 cars. 100 men. Now, 100 men were originally timed to do 100 cars, shall we say.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And they started working 5 days a week. And suddenly they said, well, what we'll do, we'll do 120 in 5 days, and we'll earn £22.50.
Yes.
Right? That was the second leap in productivity. Now, countering all that, of course, has been the decline in the market. And it's been very hard, and it's extremely hard to go down. You cannot cut costs quick enough when your product's dropping out.
Mm.
I mean, you can say let direct workers go, then you've got to let indirect workers go,
yes.
But then you've got your overhead, you've got your maintenance,
yeah.
You've got everything
yeah.
else, and you can't cut quick enough
no.
to that level to keep it in equilibrium. So you're always lagging behind when you're falling. When your program's going up, the general thing is that you can't get people in quick enough, and your people are starting to work perhaps overtime and banging stuff through, and you're sort of squeezing every little bit out of the thing, and you don't take on any more storemen, you don't take on any more industrial engineers, you don't take on any more foremen, you're pushing the stuff in and getting more and more men, and suddenly you find that your product output is overtaking your drag, and suddenly you're making profits, okay? You're making profits because the same lag in reverse takes place. After a while, people say, hey, I'm looking after 50, but I'm a foreman. So then you get another foreman, perhaps 6 months, nine months, 10 months afterwards, a year afterwards. And then somebody else says, I've got to have another clerk in this bloody place, I can't do all this work. So you get a clerk in, and gradually you start filling up then with the service people. And so your productivity, which was so high, starts to decrease against its cost, right? You reach that level where perhaps you come into equilibrium.
Yeah.
And say, okay, this is the profit level that we really are looking for. We want 20% profit, 50% profit, 100% profit, whatever it is that the board sets as a target for us to reach, and it's our job to do it. But that's it. Then they say, no more people. Then they do what all managements do these days that we've seen. They say, okay, now we've reached this. Now let's have a look and see where we can chop again. So you get this. Then they change the wages system, because people get wound up with the wages system, so they change it. You know. It's just an ongoing thing, you know, it's people, and how you manage, and, you know, the criterion for managing is that there isn't a piece of inert material on this earth that does anything on its own. It's all manipulated by people.
Mm.
So if you understand people, if you understand power organisations, if you understand organisation, and the organisation of people, the organisation of capital, and what it means in terms of power, if you can grasp that, and I mean, not, I don't know who really fully grasps it, but I mean, if you understand some of it, you've at least got an idea of what you've got to do to make things happen.
Right.
That's me.
No, I think it's probably a place to stop this meeting.
That's up to you. You got about another 5 minutes if you want it, and then I am going.
All right, now, see, let's put the last one in. No, I think. I mean, you've said. I mean, that's a sort of detailed question, but I think that's. Oh yes. Now, finally, is there sort of any kind of material? I know it's difficult to, as we just said, when you start talking about increasing productivity and so on, because of so many different circumstances playing part of it. But is there a kind of material which could show some of these changes which have taken place in the last 5 years, both in sort of industrial relations, in terms of how you get on with the unions, and in sort of economic performance?
Well, I mean, I couldn't possibly tell you how we performed in detail. That would
no.
You would have to get that through the finance,
yes,
and industrial engineering departments, and the finance department in the end put together all our costs,
yes,
and tell us whether we've made a profit or loss. The sort of industrial engineers can give you unit costs. They can tell you, yes, you know, people are producing more per hour on that job than they did 5 years ago, or less per hour. They could tell you that. They've got those records.
They
whether
did
or not,
oldest, didn't they?
Yes, they have those. Whether or not they let you have them,
yeah,
it's a different matter.
Yes.
The business of the industrial relations, well, you know, I mean, one person, my view, is rubbish, really, compared to the size of British Leyland. And so you would need to get a weighted and measured view.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about.
Yes, and I think the only way you can do that is really you would have to get to the central personnel people in this company and say, look, can we go back over, say, 10 years?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Can we go back to 1974? All right? Actually, you would do better to go back to 1969.
Yes, that's what,
because
I
in 1969,
yeah,
it was when
the piece
work was... Well, no. Oh. Something happened in this country in 1969, at least according to me. But it did. There was a wave of strike. What happened? Fords, in 1969, said, we want parity with the Midland car workers. They were getting less than the Midland car workers. Fords. And they went on strike for parity with the Midland car workers. Now, for some reason, that business of parity with the Midland car workers took a hold like a bushfire. It went through this country like a cavalry through a village in wartime. Firms we'd never had any trouble since the day they were originated suddenly started to strike. They all up and down the country. It was like a blizzard. Everybody was on strike for parity with the Midlands car workers. Or parity with so-and-so.
Yes.
Parity with so-and-so. And we were in a mess. It's 1969 when the Ford Union put in its claim. That's when the real decade of absolute chaos followed. And it followed until, really, in the car industry, in my opinion, for what it's worth, it was chaos from that time on until Edwards got at the helm and said, right, sharp's the word, quick's the action, do it. And he did it. And I've been all through that.
Yes, all right.
So I can't help you with records.
No, no. But anyway, thanks, sir.
All right.
Thanks very much. Yes, you get...